Reading today from 1 Timothy, starting at the first chapter, the 12th verse. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And a story now from the Gospel of Luke 2, actually. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Luke is a gospel where often Jesus will tell a parable that has a masculine protagonist and then a feminine protagonist. In this particular instance, Jesus tells three parables. This is the only place where that happens. One about the shepherd and the sheep. One about the woman and the lost coin, and then the third one, which is not part of our text today, but which you know well, is the story often called the prodigal son. So lost sheep, lost coin, lost child. And some of you know my story about when I was a young dumb pastor, I had done all kinds of research about the relationship between shepherds and sheep. And I was so proud of myself because I discovered that, unlike domesticated animals now, shepherds and sheep in Jesus' time had a relationship far more like what we would have with our pets. Many of you have met Vanessa. Keith just met her this morning, didn't even know she existed. Now, every morning, Sunday morning, I'm going to have to worry about dragging him up here at 10 o'clock, because otherwise he's going to be stuck in my office playing with a dog. So I had done all this research and discovered sheep and shepherds are like pets and pet owners. And I was going to use this in a children's sermon, and I sat down with the kids, and I said, "Ethan, do you have a pet at home?" And he said, "No, I just have a brother." Children's sermon over. Pets are important to us. Once I had a dog. His name was Othello. That was in the days when my mother was teaching high school English. We got him at 5 weeks. He was a black, blue chow. He was magnificent. Gorgeous animal, would stay right here by my side at all times. And we put him out on a chain when I lived in Missouri. And one night, one Halloween night, he got off the chain and ran away. I have to tell you, I was absolutely sick thinking about what kinds of depraved, sick things depraved, sick people might do to a black animal on Halloween. And I called everybody I knew and said, he's lost. I can't find him. He's off the chain. He's not coming back. I didn't sleep that night, except for a little in the morning, and I woke up to, whoop, whoop. And there he was, right at the back door, waiting to come in. I called everybody I knew. He's back! Woohoo! Rejoice, the lost has been found. Seems perhaps a insignificant example? Not to me. Not to me. Friends, God's economy does not make any sense. It doesn't make sense to leave 99, your whole livelihood, 99% of what you have, and go and search for one. It's absolutely ridiculous. Unless you're the one. And then it becomes pretty darn important. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I set up the chairs up here and we talked about the various positions in the life of the church and the community of faith that people fill? If you haven't seen that sermon, it's the most watched YouTube sermon of Erica Harley in history, so go and watch it. Almost 200 people have watched that sermon. It's remarkable to me. I don't know what that's about, but thanks, whoever you are. If you'll recall, there were people down here that were disassociated from the table. People who like to stay home and watch Joel Osteen. God love him. Happy for them, but not part of our community. People who have been alienated or angry or chosen or simply faded away from the community and are no longer part of us. They sit here, away from the table. Here sits most all of us. People who have somehow been involved in the life of the church and the life of faith and following Jesus for some time. Some of us are cynical. Some of us say things like, I'm the 99, forget the one. This is my church. I had a woman in Nebraska would always say, this is my church. And people would come to me and say, isn't it great she loves her church that much? And I'd say, no. Because you know what she means when she says, this is my church? She means, this is my church, and I don't care that it's your church too. I get my way in my church. Right? But here we are, God's faithful. At the table. At the table. What's our obligation to these people here? People who are new to the church? People who are outside the church? People who need to know Jesus because they don't? People who have just begun following Jesus? What's our obligation as God's faithful to these people? If we pay attention to God's economy, the text today say, these are the honored guests. These are the ones that should take priority for us. These are the one that Jesus went searching for. And why shouldn't we? That's God's economy. But it's hard to say, I'll give up my place to put you first. I'll stop standing where I stand so you can stand there. I'll stop sitting where I sit so you can have a seat. It's hard work to go searching for another. And yet that's exactly what Jesus says we are to do. In this text, Jesus is talking to the tax collectors and the sinners. The Pharisees and the scribes are simply overhearing. The Pharisees and the scribes aren't bad guys. They were religious faithful. They just couldn't understand the economy of God that Jesus promoted. Because it doesn't make any sense. That's the voice of the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. When the rotten son comes back home, the good son stands up and says, hey, you never did anything for me. I've been good all this time. How come I don't count? And a father says, you do count. I've always been with you. I've always loved you. But rejoice for that one that was lost, because now he's found. The other way to look at this is, we're all sinners. We have all been lost and distanced from God the Father. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, says Paul. And indeed, it's true. And if all of us need to have our lostness restored and be found, to have our hopelessness erased so that we might find hope, that comes to us, to the one who is the way and the truth and the life, Jesus our Christ. The text today says, we don't have exclusive right on Jesus, even if we're the 99. Some days we might act and feel like the one. God comes to us. God comes to the lost. God comes to the one in need. God comes to the sinner seeking forgiveness. So why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? Thanks be to God. Amen.